Now, I'm joined in the studio by Deborah Sawyer, who is a money literacy educator for scholars, students and women who have been or are in victims of domestic violence due to money issues in their relationships. So thanks for joining us today. It's lovely to meet you.
Thank you, Misha. Thank you for having me. Great stuff.
So tell me about the role as a money literacy educator. How did you get into it?
Mainly personal experience from, you know, been through as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, really. So my father was the one who first introduced me to money, buying stocks and shares. He bought some for himself as he worked and bought some for my mom, who stayed at home. So that's my first real exposure to money. Fast forward a few years, I got married, and it was just subtle. I married the complete opposite person to me, who just wasn't great with money. Yeah. So that's where this all came from, you know, personal experience. Painful ones, some good ones. Well, what I do is basically I go on social media. You know, we live in a day and age of social media. We've gone social media crazy, really. So I go on Facebook, I go on Periscope, I go on Twitter, YouTube, and I just teach, you know, an audience about money. Anything from spending your money better to saving to investing. I live stream, but I just go for it, and people come on and watch it later on. I mean, the saying these days is we're only one paycheck away from being, you know, living in poverty, really. That's what it is, because everyone relies on that one salary, 9-to-5 job, and never really thinking about how it was done back in the days, the rationing and all those things where there wasn't a lot around, and you had to really live within your means. People don't do that anymore, you know, old school style. People live on credit cards, you know, they don't take cash out to spend. So, you know, we've moved away from it, but we need to go back to it, because, you know, we're bringing up a generation of children who think that we should just live on credit, borrowed money. So, you know, I mean, I've got two young daughters. I've got my oldest is 13, so she's just right at that age, you know, and she got my old iPhone. I'm not an iPhone person. Team hashtag Team Samsung, right. I am, you know, Android. But she got my old iPhone, the bricky one, you know, and she had that for a few years. And obviously she wanted the new one. But, you know, it's the way you bring up your children and the way you train them and what you tell them, you know, in terms of what you can have and what you can't have. Now, phone is, it is not a need. It's not a necessity. Mm. It is something that makes life comfortable. We lived in a day and age where there was no mobile phones, and we did pretty well. So it's just teaching your children the right way, the way to appreciate what they've got. And for me, my children have to work hard for the things they get as well. If it's something that they don't actually need and it's a want, they have to work hard for it, you know. So
it's not handing things out.
It's not. And their phone is secondhand as well. I scour on the internet. Her phone was bought through Facebook Marketplace locally from someone who had the phone. It's an iPhone 6. It's perfect. She loved it. She's happy about it. No one knows if it's secondhand. Boom.
With savings, do they have like a piggy bank? Have you got them a bank account? What do you say to them with regards to saving money?
Well, for my children? Mm. Oh, wow. That's a great question. They have both. You know, most kids started off with piggy banks, didn't they? I mean, we had the same as well, you know, growing up. So they have piggy banks at home. Sometimes one has a piggy bank. The other one just has a little purse. She puts some money in. They've all both had bank accounts since they were born. I think probably about 2-3 weeks old, I opened bank accounts for them where I just put money in. So, you know, you have christenings and, you know, birthdays, and the money comes in, and we just take the money to the bank account and put it in there. And now they work at home doing chores, and they make money. That's how they make their money. I do not believe in giving my children pocket money. No way. You work for it. So they work for it, and when they get their money, it's distributed in terms of what I can spend, what I can save, and what I can give away to either my sister or friend or whatever.
But when you've got a credit card, and this is the reason that nearly everybody in the UK is in debt, a serious amount of debt, because they've got credit cards.
Yes.
And you cannot get out of it. Everybody is living on borrowed money.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I am working towards, I wouldn't come on here and say, you know, I'm perfect, because we're not perfect. Mm. We're all learning. I have credit cards, but I never use them. Yeah. It is almost like I have to have them there and see them there and know that, yes, I've got credit cards. But what's the essence of having them if I'm not really using them? Now, sometimes I make purchases like going away on holiday where I need to protect my purchase and I've got the money, but I would deliberately pay it on the credit card and put the money straight on. Yeah. So credit cards are not evil. They're not the worst thing ever. It's just having some sort of discipline. If you're not If you don't have the self-control when it comes to money, it doesn't matter even if it's your money or borrowed money or credit card money, you'll be really rubbish at it. Mm. So, you know, it's just self-control, you know, knowing that. And you can have anything you want, Michelle. If you really, really want something, I can really have that. You can have it, but just save up for it.
Yeah.
Just save up for it.
And it's and it actually feels better, as your children will know, if you buy something yourself and you've saved up and you've worked for it. It actually is something you appreciate.
It feels so much better. It feels so much nicer that, yes, I did it.
How does it affect people with their mental health?
So talking about my own personal experience, you know, when I was in the height of, you know, in fact, I can definitely say on here that the issues with money problems in my relationship was really what brought the end of my marriage, you know. I'm not divorced, but I'm being separated for quite a long time, and it's never going to come back together. We're never going to do that. But that is one of the reasons why we went our separate ways. And because it was simple little things, and some people might identify with this, simple little things like us being able to throw a party for 1 year old and spend thousands, and that child doesn't understand a party. But then the next day, the mortgage company writes to us saying we haven't paid our mortgage for 3 months. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. You know, and that was driving me nuts. Now, you know, my partner was responsible for paying the mortgage, but both of our names was on the mortgage. So I am equally, you know, responsible for it. And I have a part to play in that because I did join in the parties. The whole idea of letters coming in, us just being lost in this sea of debt, your mortgage, you think you're going to lose your home. You know, I could swear that I was in a dark place. There were times where I was, you know, really down about it. You know, I'd heard about depression. I'd met people at work. I worked for the public sector in housing for a long time, met so many people with it, but I just didn't want to acknowledge really that's what I was feeling, to go to the doctor, to go and get some help. You know, it affects your mental health. Also, you know, at that very same time, suddenly I woke up one day and I couldn't walk. And I thought, what's going on? I was so stressed. You know, I was pregnant as well with my second child. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I really, truly believe that my rheumatoid arthritis that I have now was spurred on by all the stress of the money, you know, that I was just thinking about, even though we were both working and we were making good money.
What you mustn't do if you've got debt, and there'll be people out there going, oh, I've got the letters coming. You just have to speak to them. And normally if you do, they say that's okay. What can you afford?
I mean, what creditors don't like is you just not talking to them. It's the worst thing ever. It doesn't make it go away. No. You know, shoving it under the carpet doesn't, it'll be there when you wake up tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. The best thing you can do is just get up, sort it out, speak to somebody. There's always help out there. There are a lot of people out there who deal with, you know, how to sort out money problems, you know. And you can pay a notional amount. A lot of creditors will take a notional amount of just £1, you know, for a period of time. Now, that may affect your credit scoring, but it's best your credit scoring is damaged and you don't have this stress that's going to cause you ill health physically and mentally.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And it's also, we're talking about domestic violence in the situation with money. How does that sort of come about?
Well, it came about as well because, again, I consider myself to be a survivor. I was lucky. Not everyone is lucky enough, you know. For me, it wasn't the case of, some people may think of it and think, was she working? Was her other half or partner or husband stopping her from spending her money? No, that is not the type of, that's not the situation I'm talking about here. I worked, he worked. But again, when it came to that mortgage, that was one of my bugbears. It really was one of those things that bothered me. That when it wasn't paid, and even though it was his responsibility in the, you know, as a family, you know, as family, you share bills, you pay that, I pay that. And he didn't pay it. You know, I'd get so angry with him and I would say things and I would raise my voice and say, why aren't you paying it? You know, and, you know, just like that, you know, he may have had a stressful day at work or something. And, you know, that was when the first slap came. That it was the beginning of, you know, and that's how domestic violence starts. That was the beginning of it. And it just progressively got worse and worse and worse over the years. And it was all down to us having issues. It was a cause and effect. One thing led to the other and led to the other and led to the other.
And then if you are in a relationship, in a house, with a mortgage, with children, it's very difficult to say, I want you to move out because you're too frightened to. And then to take your children out of their home, their school, and go where?
Exactly.
So
where do you go?
You're trapped.
Exactly. You are trapped, you know. And, you know, I'm in the process of writing a book, and the title of the book is called Money, the Root Curse, not cause, but the root curse of domestic violence. that was my experience. And in there, I was talking about in one of the chapters, I was talking about when that first slap came, and it comes like a bolt of lightning. You don't expect it, and you make excuses and say, "No, it didn't happen. He must have been tired. Was it my fault?" And I was pregnant at the time as well when it first started, so I thought, "Oh, well, it might be my hormones that's playing up." You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, but you are trapped, and a lot of women out there are definitely trapped in relationships where this kind of situation with money, you know, not necessarily that he's the other person. And this works both ways. It could be a woman doing this to a man or a man doing it to a woman. But in my case, I'm talking about it happening from a man towards a woman. And so, you know, it's not necessarily about, you know, the man holding back money, but not doing those things that he's responsible for or that you've agreed to do as a family that can really frustrate you and that can actually lead to domestic violence. And there is no excuse for a man to hit a woman, regardless of whether there's problems with money or not. Now, I mean, I worked full time. You know, I worked full time. The only time I think I ever had off work was when I was off on maternity leave twice with the two children. But never worked part time in my life. Never worked reduced hours, seasonal work, none of that. You know, I worked full time, like I said, for a local authority within housing. Yeah. You know, and the irony of it, Michelle, was that at that time and all those years that I worked for the local authority, about 20 odd years, I dealt with women who suffer domestic violence. So I was there giving them, you drop everything when they come in. Yeah. You dropped everything. And there I was, not able to save myself. I was going through the same thing, and they were going through the same thing, and I was there giving them advice, you know, and some of it was to do with money, and it's just ironic, really. So, yeah.
How did you get out of the situation in the end? What changed for you to make you go, no, this is, I've got to change my life?
Well, a lot of women who go through domestic violence would say that it isn't actually usually the worst thing that makes them get out of it. It's not the really bad situation. It's usually that very small thing where the penny, you know, that penny drops, that thing just clicks in your head and you say, you know, enough is enough. And for me, you know, it was a beautiful day. It come back, everything was perfectly fine. And before I knew it, we were in a heated debate about me going out. I just needed something in my spirit said, Deborah, just get out. Just get out. Go somewhere.
Children.
The whole idea of Sawyer's House, it was birthed from a good and sad place, is to help somebody out there, even if it's just one person, also with money literacy. So if people want to get hold of me, the best place to get hold of me is probably through my website, which is www.sawyershousemoneylifestyle.com.
Lovely. And Sawyer's with double R.
Double R, that's right.
I've never seen it with a double R before.
I know, it's the African way.
Oh, right.
It's the African way of spelling it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm. It's been really interesting to have you in the studio. And I said, if you're out there at the moment and you know, you've got money worries or you're trapped in a relationship, you've got domestic violence, do take a look at the website. We will put all the details up so if people want to get in contact, they can.